Hello out there. This is Pamela Fagan Hutchins, and this is Wine, Women, and Writing, the show where I talk with other authors about their female characters and what makes them authentic and complex and the wonderful real life experiences that they're based upon. And today we have all the way from Atlanta, a wonderful guest who we'll talk to in just a minute, Emily Carpenter. So Emily's over there in Atlanta. I'm in Dallas. And the few quick announcements for today are, be sure to run out to my website, PamelaFaganHutchins.com. I've got old episodes out there last week with CJ Box. I've got new episodes upcoming. Be sure to read Stephanie Queen's Beachcomber Gone if you want to keep up with the flow. And I have on the blog portion three different giveaways going on. One is for a Johnny Was scarf like my new protagonist Maggie wears, so you can be a wild woman too. Another is for books and audiobooks and ebooks and an Amazon gift card through Lone Star Literary. And finally, there's the big one, which is to win a space at the Reader Appreciation Retreat in Wyoming this summer. There's going to be six people that get picked, and all the details are there. So while you're there, you can pick up Livewire. That's my new release from last week, and it's the Maggie books. And let me know what you think about it. So now on to the fun stuff over here. I think it's on my right for you guys, but on my screen, it's on the left. It's so confusing when we're doing audio and video at the same time. But this is the delightful Emily Carpenter, who's the author of Until the Day I Die. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm delighted to have you. And I am so excited because a lot of times I get people that I consider having on the show that write to me or the publicist does, and I don't know them from Yahoo, but I'd already read your work and enjoyed it. So this was a real treat for me.
I love it. I'm so happy. It's known.
Exactly. And so some of our readers may not have had the wonderful experience that I've had of already knowing your work. So could you tell them just a little bit about your new release, Until the Day I Die?
Absolutely. And you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little croaky and raspy because I have a cold. But my new book is called Until the Day I Die. And it's about a mother and daughter who are separated geographically. The mom is at a spa rehab resort in the Caribbean, and the daughter's in her first year of college. And simultaneously, they both discover something's going on with their family business. Somebody, they don't know who, may be stealing money. And then there's some physical danger involved, and they really have to kind of solve the mystery of what's going on and who's doing it and who may be after them, who may be wanting to dispose of them permanently. And they have to sort of rescue each other.
It's fun for me as the mother of three no longer teenagers, adult daughters, to think about the cooperation inherent in, you know, if your life is hanging in the balance of one of your teenage girls, you are in trouble.
I mean, I loved because sometimes communicating with our teenagers, especially if you're a different kind of personality, it's really tough. And you have to find that, you have to find that groove of relationship and communication. So yeah, that was something that interested me a lot.
You gotta get on Snapchat long enough for them to, you know, care.
Exactly. These two very different personalities have got to figure out what's going on and save each other.
And in this case, the mother-daughter relationship is complicated by the fact that they both simultaneously experience a loss of. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that Aaron's husband and Shori's father, Perry, right before the book opens, Perry has tragically died in a car accident, and they're both grieving. And not that there's a right way to grieve, but neither one of them seem to be handling things really well, I guess. Not that you would handle that well, but things are kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
in both their lives.
In yeah, exactly. The different thing that a parent versus a spouse means to you and a business partner, because yeah. At the heart of this book is what I found really most intriguing about the book was that both of the women are, they're of science, if you will, IT, an IT company, the company that, Aaron ran with Perry.
Yeah.
I read so many books and the names, it's like, well, they're real to me. I just can't remember their names.
My own character name.
At me either. Aaron and Perry ran a company that had an app, a very interesting app that helped people with their personal finances. And then their daughter is on a STEM, science and technology, you know, scholarship to Auburn. So I thought, how kick-ass is that to have women in science?
Yeah. And I, you know what, it was really fun to me to write these women who in very different ways, because Erin is the CEO of the company Jax. So she's got this real sort of administrative CEO gift where she's always got a plan and she always has a solution to the problem. So it was really fun to write these super capable women who have been thrown for a loop by this thing, tragedy in their life. But to kind of see them rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very clear that Erin was giving up control she wouldn't normally give up. You know, that yeah. This was out of character for her to say, I'll go off to this
resort. Exactly.
And you could just, you know, the whole time you're screaming, don't do this, don't do this. You know.
But you know what? There are those times, I think, where we're in life where we think, you know, maybe my perception is off and maybe I should listen to everybody around me telling me that, you know, I've got a problem or I need to take a break or whatever, but you're right. The whole time you're saying, don't do it.
And sometimes then, you know, your gut tells you in the end, it was the right thing. And the other times your gut is screaming, big mistake, big
yes.
mistake. And here, Erin's not before too long is screaming, big mistake.
Big mistake.
You should have stayed in control, sister. I have a fabulous daughter, our oldest daughter. I have three fabulous daughters and two fabulous sons, but our oldest daughter is actually a computer science PhD candidate at Vanderbilt who went to Auburn for undergrad. So as I was reading the book, I was picturing Nicole in this role and really cheering Shori on. Shori was interesting to me because she was an introvert with some difficulty in identifying and dealing with her own emotions. And I found that interesting, the way that you handled it in the book. I believe she had a reference guide or something to feelings, basically. And she would chant them off to herself, right now what I'm feeling is, and give them names. So did you do research for that? Or did you have experience with someone that had challenges? Or how did you come up with that element?
Yeah, I just, I don't know how I decided that. I think, so in the book, what happens is for graduation, her best friend's mother gives her this emotional dictionary. And I happen to have an emotional dictionary that I use for writing. And I'll just look up if I'm feeling like I can't put my finger on what a character's feeling, I use it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that came from. But I find that funny because I think Shori resented a little bit that her friend's mom thought that she wasn't good at, you know, being emotional or showing her emotions. And at one point she says, you know, just, you know, why are girls or women expected, just because we don't show our emotions doesn't mean we don't have them. And I kind of liked the flip stereotype of, you know, that she was kind of saying, you know, I'm full of emotions and I'm going to reveal that by labeling every single emotion I'm having in the moment. So that way I found her very endearing.
I thought that was really cute. And as I said, I loved that you flipped the stereotype and it's on its head, with these strong women who were STEM IT women. Now the Birmingham connection. Are you from Alabama originally?
Yes.
Okay. So the Auburn and the Birmingham are making sense to me now, that intimacy with which you write them. It's like going home.
It is. It is. I grew up in Birmingham and I went to Auburn, War Eagle.
Explain that War Eagle versus Tiger thing to me. I
don't understand it either. Some people could explain it to you. It's just history, but no, like, so the whole STEM thing though is totally not me. So the setting I was familiar with and growing up in the South and all that, but the whole science and computer technology, all that stuff is very much out of my wheelhouse.
Did you have an expert that you consulted with to get the details right there?
I did. One of my critique partners is a guy who does coding and software, and that's his business, as well as being an author. So he was very helpful. And also had a guy I know through a colleague of my husband's who's out in Silicon Valley. And he's done like incredible, he's created game apps and stuff. So I sat down with him and he was like, okay, here's what's realistic. And here's kind of how this works. And here's how we can make this app feel like it's really real.
Yeah. So. And it was very believable. You know, the daughter I mentioned builds apps, and I, of course, don't understand all of it. I'm not a science person either, but you had me. So
good.
We'll have to send it to Nicole and say, okay,
listen, yeah, no.
How I feel about anytime I write like a medical element or something in, I'm like, oh, I'm stepping in a danger zone here.
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, as an author, you know, when you're going in and you're going to create something that's in a specified field that's technical, you're going to make some missteps. Your goal and my goal was just to make it sound believable enough for
exactly
the average reader.
As a former lawyer, when I read any legal thriller, I'm pissed the whole time because half of it is like, that would never happen. That would never happen. Or that's just totally wrong. And so you're not, as a legal thriller writer, you're not writing for the lawyers in the room. But when you have really good critique partners, which I noticed in your acknowledgments that you were acknowledging really good critique partners, I think it just makes all the difference in all of your writing. So you've got a good group, it sounds like.
I do. And they've kind of evolved. And since they're all writers, they all are busy at different times. So you're always trying to like get in and say like, do you have a window of time to read this for me? And you know, you trade off with them. But yeah, I do have a couple of great women and the computer dude.
I feel like that's half the reason I go to conferences is to make sure I'm constantly adding to my who can I call when I've got a book and no one's available to read it list. I need some advice. So another thing that was fascinating to me from a personal perspective with these books, and you know, if nothing else, these podcasts are like Pamela's personal book club. So so what I liked, but I thought was the St. Lucia Spa connection. 15 years ago or something. My mind is a blur. But I actually went to a spa to do a personal kind of a rehab, like to quit drinking on St. Lucia. And yes. So I opened up this book and I thought, she wrote this for me. But then I've got to admit, mine was pretty peaceful and I did do yoga. I did not get chased by people and nearly die. So
yeah, that was very good.
But how did you pick St. Lucia? How was your location scouting?
Well, it was actually, it's a little island off the coast of St. Lucia that is an imaginary island that I made up called Île Saint-Sigo. And because I was going to have various murders and terrible things happening there, I just liked the freedom. And also I kind of needed to make up my own geography, mm-hmm. right? So I thought, I'm just going to create my own island. And it needed to be under the jurisdiction of the royal police, but kind of out of their, you know,
yeah,
immediate eye line so that, you know, there could be shenanigans that happen there. But I just, you know, I liked the idea of the remoteness of it. And I just thought, you know, you could have all sorts of, like I said, geographically, there's waterfalls and cliffs and mountains, like St. Lucia has that incredible mountain,
right,
that you can climb, and beaches. So it could be a wonderful, restful, hospitable kind of location, but also very threatening.
Yeah, survivor in hell kind of threatening. Exactly. Yeah. And you can't get away. Right. There's a lot of really cool elements you can do with islands.
Yeah, and there's never good cell service either.
No, there is never good cell service. We lived in the Caribbean, or my husband's from St. Croix, but I lived in the Caribbean for 10 years and there's never good cell service. So now, okay, so I'm cheating. I'm going over to my questions to make sure that I don't miss anything. The plot, the actual story, how do you plot? How did it come to you? Do you character first? Do you plot first? What works for you?
Well, it's all very organic. And it's all very different with every book. I feel like each book is like your kid, right? It's very unique and has its own little personality, and you raise it a little differently than you do the others. So, but I tend to start with a hook. Like, I do. I started with the idea. And I've said this before in other interviews, but I started with the idea of Lord of the Flies, but mm-hmm. with soccer moms. Mm-hmm. So I have this idea of all these middle-aged women like running around a tropical island, like killing each other.
Yeah.
Which is a little dark. So
a little dark.
So but I do like the idea. So anyway. I won't go into that, but it would be really cool to do, like, to have a mother-daughter sort of surviving together.
Yeah.
You know? And I loved that idea because I do write a lot about mothers and daughters who have bad relationships. So I really wanted to write a story about a mom and a daughter who like kick ass together.
Right. This is a wonderful, it's okay. No FCC rules here. It's a wonderful relationship redemption story, you know, with you, and how they're saving each other on many more than just the level of physical safety. So I think you really nailed that. And I absolutely love the image of soccer moms running around an island like Lord of the Flies. That's gonna be
really, I know, right. Isn't that? I thought it was very compelling.
I
pitched it to my agent and she was like,
Does the hook thing, does starting with the hook, do you think come from your background in television?
Because for sure.
It feels like that direction.
Yeah. And I think it comes from that idea of like a log line or an elevator pitch.
Right.
I mean, we respond to that these days, right? We have these really short attention spans, all of us. And so I just think that works well with the modern brain to say, hey, it's a story about a blood, you know, XYZ, and you get the person hooked and you go from there. And I mean, I think it's kind of a brilliant way to boil down a story or to start a story.
I do too. And it seemed to really work because you hooked me, you had your hook, you hooked me, and I enjoyed it. And I have appreciated so much the chance to re-dive into an Emily Carpenter novel with you. We are, speaking of short attention spans, we're kind of reaching that point where people are like, la, 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 and they're looking around and there's a squirrel. So we're going to start the wrap up process here. But before we do, I know you've been doing some touring in support of this brand new release. I mean, literally this week. Are you anywhere that people can catch you in the next couple of days? What's up with Emily?
Yeah, I just got back from South Carolina. I've got a signing tonight in Marietta, Georgia. Another signing in May in Georgia, in Woodstock. And I'll kind of be around. I'll be in Dallas in the fall for Voucher Company.
Well, I'll be there too. Let's get together. We can do another radio show or just chat books.
Absolutely. I love it.
Eat or drink or whatever.
All of that.
Super. So we'll see each other then. And let's see. I think that's all I have. I have to do my, on my honor, I always swear that I have to say this. This has been a copyrighted and solely owned production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. And this is Wine, Women, and Writing. This has been a real treat. I expect another good show next week when we have Stephanie Queen with Beachcomber Gone. And please read along with me. Please don't forget to go out and pick up your copy of Until the Day I Die. And also Livewire. And then until then, I will keep reading good books and hope you are too. Emily, thanks for coming.